Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the church this morning. Welcome to those sitting in the pews. It's lovely to see you here. And welcome to those joining us on the web camera, to those who listen in at a later date. We begin with our opening words. And I suppose as we begin our service, we just hold in our hearts American parents who have lost their children to guns in Texas. Look to this day, for it is life. In its course lie all the verities and realities of our existence, the bliss of growth, the glory of action, the joy of achievement. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today well lived makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. Our chalice lighting. May unity and peace abide within us. May wholeness and joy touch our hearts. May kindness and compassion fill our universe and reverence fill our days. May we see the light that shines in every person. And now we'll have our first hymn this morning, and it's hymn number 25, God of the Earth, the Sky, the Sea. Hymn number 25. Let us pray. God of laughter, God of Jesus and of all holy fools, God present with us in the comic and the absurd, in that which a dull world calls nonsense. Save us from taking ourselves too seriously. Save us from our own pomposity. Puncture our puffed up selves. Infiltrate our deadly seriousness. Subvert it with your trickster's joy. Show us that your divine folly is wiser than our blinkered wisdom. Show us that the gift of humor is still our best defense against pretentious delusion. Teach us that the eyes of the simple can often see more clearly than those of the worldly wise. Grant us the courage to be fools with the foolishness of God, and in divine weakness, may we find the strength to live with courage, good intent, with laughter, and with joy. Now can we join together to say the words that attempt to articulate the aims of this community. They are printed on the back page of your hymn book. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve mankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony with the divine, this do we covenant with each other and with God. Tony Brady has a reading for us this morning.
Morning, everyone. For my reading, I've chosen a piece that comes from the Reverend Alice Anacheka Naisman. Reverend Alice is minister of the Unitarian Church of Marlborough and Hudson in Massachusetts. And the reading is called Meditation on Hope and Love in a Time of Struggle. In a world so filled with brokenness and sorrow, it would be easy to lose ourselves in never-ending grief, to be choked by outrage, to be paralyzed by the enormity of suffering, to feel our hearts squeezed tight with hopelessness. Instead, this morning, let us simply breathe together as we hold our hearts open. Breathing in as our hearts fill with compassion, breathing out as we pray for healing on our world and in our lives. Breathing in, opening ourselves to the transforming power of love. Breathing out as we pray for peace in our world and in our lives. Breathing in as we hold hope in our hearts. Breathing out as we pray for justice in our world and in our lives. May we know our strength. May we be filled with courage. May our love flow from us into the world. Breathing in, we are the prayer. Breathing out, we are the healing. Breathing in, we are the love. Breathing out, we are the peace. Breathing in, we are the hope. Breathing out, we are the justice. May we know our strength. May we be filled with courage. May our love flow from us into this world. Amen. Blessed be. May it ever be so.
Hi. You look very nervous this morning. I won't be nasty to you. See, it's really the adults who like hearing the stories, so it's great when we have children here. That's their excuse. This is a once upon a time story. And as once upon a time, there were a whole group of frogs, sort of an extended family of frogs, hopping through the forest. And two of the frogs were at the very edge of the group, and they fell into a big pit. It was very deep. The other frogs waited to see would they get out. And it was the frogs in the pit were trying to jump out, just try and jump, but they couldn't reach the top. And the frogs in the beginning, who were on the outside looking down into the pit, were telling them, come on, jump really hard, jump really hard. You're nearly there, you'll make it. But gradually, the story began to change and they began to say, do you know what? I don't think you're going to make it here. Just give up. Stay in the thing. I'm sorry, but I don't think you're going to make it. And one of the frogs listened to that advice
and just sort of sat there and gradually became colder and more hungry and died. The other frog didn't pay any attention to what was being said and kept trying to jump. No matter how many times he fell back, he still made the big effort to jump. And the others were shouting down at him. And eventually, he managed to get out. And the other frog says, "Gosh, we're amazed that you got out. You obviously weren't listening to what we were telling you." And he said, "Sorry," he said, "I'm very deaf. I didn't hear what you were telling me." And they said, "Oh, we were telling you to give up. You're going to die." So he was really lucky that that frog didn't pay any attention by accident because he was deaf, and he lived. And sometimes we have to be careful to the messages other people tell us. Thank you, girls. You're very good. Our second hymn this morning, it's hymn number 14. For my reading, I have chosen two readings this morning, and the first one is from the book of Ecclesiastes. It's chapter 1, verse 1 to 12, and I think I find this reading quite pessimistic. It begins with the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What do people gain from all the toil which they toil under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hurries to the place from which it rises. The wind blows from the south and goes to the north. Round and round goes the wind, and in its circuit the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, and the sea is not full. The place where the streams flow, there they continue to flow. All things are wearisome more than one can express.
The eye is not satisfied with seeing or the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing which it is said, see, this is new? It has already been in the ages before us. The people of long ago are not remembered, nor will there be any remembrance of the people to come by those who come after them. Words in the book of Ecclesiastes, and that is where the expression, there is nothing new under the sun, comes from, and other familiar ones as well. In contrast to that, my second reading is by Henry David Thoreau, the writer of Walden Pond, and he talks about how he wants to live. I wish to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life. I wish to learn what life has to teach, and not when I come to die to discover that I have not lived. I do not wish to live what is not life. Living is so dear. Nor do I wish to practice resignation unless it is quite necessary. I wish to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life. I want to cut a broad swathe, to drive life into a corner and reduce it to its lowest terms. If it proves to be mean, then to get the whole and genuine meanness of it and to publish its meanness to the world. Or if it is sublime, to know it by experience and to be able to give a true account of it. Two very different types of reading. Now we have a prayer which will be followed by a time of silence for personal reflection, and that will be brought to an end by a piece of music. Let me not pray to have my doubts vanish, but that I have the courage to follow my doubts wherever they lead me in pursuit of truth. Let me not pray that never again I will experience the loss of a loved one, but that I have the strength to both honour the memory and to bring comfort to others. Let me not pray that my faith is not challenged, but that my anger is clothed in love and directed at injustice and oppression. Let me not pray that I won't face cruelty and violence, but that I don't allow the experience to turn me into a victim motivated by bitterness. Let me not pray for wealth and comfort, but that I have the commitment to work ceaselessly for those who are poor and powerless. Let me not pray to have infinite knowledge and wisdom, but for the humility to recognize the limitations of what I know and to value truth and wisdom in others. Let me not pray for eternal life when I die, but to live this life well and to help other people to do the same. There is nothing new under the sun. This phrase is so often used that we may not realize that the quotation is from the Jewish book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is one of the writings in Jewish scripture, or as we call it, the Old Testament. Unlike Reformed churches, the Roman Catholic Church, which I grew up in, doesn't encourage its members to read the Bible. From the readings they hear at Sunday Mass, Catholics do have a good knowledge of the epistles and the Gospels, but generally they don't find inspiration in the Old Testament. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 8 of the book of Ecclesiastes is probably the exception. That is the chapter that begins with a very familiar, "To everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die." That reading is a familiar one at funerals, and the writer reminds us that death is part of the cycle of life. And I think that sentiment brings comfort to a people. The book of Ecclesiastes was probably written between 450 and 200 before the Common Era. In it, the writer ponders the meaning of life. And the tone of the writing is fatalistic. At times, it's downright pessimistic. What is the point of rushing around, trying to change the world, when in the end, we all die, and in time, we'll all be forgotten? That's really what the whole thing is about. I think it's interesting that in the Catholic tradition, the book of Ecclesiastes is called a wisdom writing, but not in the Jewish scriptures. The Jewish scriptures have wisdom writing, but the book of Ecclesiastes is not in their wisdom section. So is there anything new under the sun since Ecclesiastes was written? Now, obviously, technology and science are totally new. What would the writer of Ecclesiastes think of space travel? Of the idea that in modern medicine we transplant organs? What would they think of modern communications? There are changes, but we find that the same questions still confound humans. Same questions come from the dawn of time right to modern times. In a recent edition of The Guardian magazine, there was an article and it had the title, "Mum, What's the Meaning of Life?" And the byline was, "Plato mixes with playtime." And you find that not only have these questions been asked from the dawn of time by people, but they're also asked by very young people. In the article, children as young as 3 are asking the big questions, the ones philosophers and religions have grappled with since the dawn of time. Layla, who was 7, asked, "If God created everything, who created God?" 3-year-old Josh asked, "Where was I before I was born?" Homer, age 7, wanted to know, "Where do you go to when you die?" And Casper, who's all of 5, asked, "What are our lives for?" I'd love to meet Casper. A philosopher called Justin Metz responded to the children's questions. And he told Casper, who had asked, "What are our lives for?" Metz's response was, "Our lives are for us. People are searching for something that will help them make sense that we are here and maybe tell us how to live. But I think they're making a mistake. The universe doesn't care about us. The universe is billions of light years wide. It has billions of stars and billions of galaxies and billions of planets. There's nothing much special about where we are, not even about who we are. I don't think we were put here for any purpose, but we're here and we should care about one another. That's how the philosopher Metz answered young Caspar. For me, Justin Metz's answer was as fatalistic and pessimistic as the book of Ecclesiastes. So there is nothing new under the sun. Writers are still writing that. In one aspect, Metz is correct. It is we who must find meaning in our lives. Most of us will have inherited answers to these big questions from the religions of our childhood. In the Western world, the majority are guided by the teachings of one or other of the great monotheistic faiths of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. These faiths teach that our lives are a test to assess whether we deserve eternal reward or eternal punishment when we die. They're the what they call the pie in the sky when we die religions. The Eastern traditions of Hinduism and Buddhism both teach reincarnation. Within these traditions, this life is just one of many thousands of lives we are destined to live until we achieve liberation from this endless cycle of being born, living, and dying. Here we have opposing beliefs. This life is a once-off test, or we are destined to live life after life until we liberate ourselves from the cycle of birth and death. But all religious traditions, whether they teach heaven and hell or reincarnation, affirm that there is purpose in our lives. Each of these faiths teach that it is essential that we do more than eat, drink, and be merry, and then die. Faiths tell me that my life and how I live has to have meaning. I know that many people find that the religious teachings of childhood are unfulfilling in adults. And so they leave religion on the back burner. And it's only often with the passing of time or some exceptional life event experience that they begin to ask the big questions and maybe reassess the things they believe. In 1830 in Boston, the Transcendental Club was formed. The club was founded to address these important life questions. The members of the club discussed new ways of approaching religion, education, and ways of living. The writer of this morning's second reading, Henry David Thoreau, was a member of the Transcendental Club. And as we see from that reading, Thoreau was not content to drift through life. Remember, he wrote, "I want to learn what life has to teach, and not, when I come to die, discover that I have not lived." Thoreau was just 42 years of age when he died. But apart from religious belief, it is important that we live life and not just drift through it. Even if you think that you die and that's it, and not be reincarnated or go to heaven and hell, it is important that you think of life and live it, not just drift through it. Having a religious belief, whichever tradition I follow, is not important. But having belief means that I accept that my life matters, that I was born for a reason. No one's going to tell me that purpose. I will discover it. It will emerge as I live my life. And I prefer the optimistic version of life that has meaning over the dull pessimism of Ecclesiastes and the philosopher Metz. And even if my belief that life has meaning at the end of it turns out to be wrong, at least I will have the satisfaction of knowing that I have lived well as I can. We can never prove or disprove articles of faith. We only live with hunches about the meaning of life. And we can never tell anyone else what they should or shouldn't believe, because faith is not experienced through the senses. It's not something we can bring reasoned argument to it. It's something that we intuit. It eludes description. Religious faith, though, does encourage us to ask those big questions. To live life not just to fill in time. And religion tells us to look outward beyond our own concerns. If I live thinking this is it, it can become very inward looking. What do I want from this life? I'm only here for a few years. Get what I want. Religions do teach us to take a broader view. Religion teaches us to be compassionate. And one of the things we forget about compassion is that compassion must start with yourself. To be compassionate with yourself first. You can't be compassion for others if you don't have it for yourself. You can't give away what you don't have. In all faiths, caring for others is an essential. It's not an optional extra. Religion encourages us to live with a sense of wonder and gratitude. Who cannot be awed by the fact that the universe has billions of stars and billions of galaxies, and that we're here and can see them? How can anyone believe that there is nothing special about our planet Earth? Despite our misuse of the Earth, our planet still supports a teeming life system. Animals, plants, trees, birds, and of course human beings. And human beings with all our complexities. Metz says that there's nothing special about who we are. I expect that the parents of Leila, Josh, Homer, and Casper might disagree with Metz on that point. We all know our children are the most wonderful thing ever. Yes, human beings are part of the web of life on Earth. We share the Earth with the other animals. But as far as we can tell, human beings are unique in that we look for meaning in life. Humans look at the galaxies, and we've devised ways to measure their vastness and to take a photograph of them. Human intelligence has reasoned that black holes exist in the vastness of 44 billion light-year wide universe. And now we've managed to photograph them. And I think that that's just amazing that people learn about how the cosmos works and say, well, if that's happening and that's happening, there must be black holes. And then they go and they find them and discover they're right. Humans created a way to travel to the moon and come back again. Humans have also created atomic bombs, all kinds of lethal weapons, and concentration camps. There is something different about humans. For want of a better word, we call the originator of the universe God. That little three-lettered word is inadequate and has been misused for generations. In childhood, we were given childish explanation of God. And the God of my childhood was an old man with a book who wrote down my mistakes. I don't believe in that God, but I believe that there is a force that is creative and life-giving. And for want of a better word, I'm happy to call that force God. I believe that the only important thing is that we live the best life we can. There is nothing new under the sun, the writer says. We still have the earth, the wind, the sun, the streams, the sunsets, animals and people. Perhaps it's time, maybe for the first time, that we actually see what is under the sun and allow ourselves to be utterly amazed by it all. Amen. Our third hymn is hymn number 115, God of Grace and God of Glory. our notices. There's no offertory, but there is a donation box on the way out, and it is possible to make a donation to the church from our website. And thank you to people who help out with finances. And I think from next Sunday on, we're going to return to having an offertory in the church. There's a new copy of Uskild magazine for June. Just to say in it, Josh has a notice about a launch of a music evening, and we're not sure which date. He talks about the 8th of June, Saturday the 8th. The 8th of June is not a Saturday. That needs to be clarified if you were thinking of going to it. Wednesday there is a service of reflection from 1:05 to 1:35, and that's available on the web camera as well. Next Sunday is a very special service because we're celebrating the younger children in what we call a junior coming of age programme. These are young people around the age when other children make First Holy Communion. And there are four young people involved in it, Michael, Matthea, Josephine and Keevin. And they're going to take part in the service. They're going to do readings, going to tell the children's story. They've chosen the hymns and they have rewritten their version of the Beatitudes. So it's a lovely day of celebration. There will be a communion service after that. Now, because of COVID, we have broken the bank out and bought individualist little glasses for communion. So if you're terrified of getting COVID, you'll be all right. You'll have your own glass. But it'd be lovely if there were lots of people at the service to celebrate with the young people. Maybe a few people might bring along a cake, because we're going to have a cup of tea at the end of the church. So next Sunday, really, really a day to look forward to, a day of celebration. The book club meet every month, the last Wednesday of the month, via Zoom. So the next meeting of the book club will be the end of July. We have our blessing. Let ours be a religion in which, like sunshine, it goes everywhere. Its temple, all space, its creed, all truth, its ritual, works of love, its profession of faith, divine living. Amen.